I'm speaking with Martin Barbary, who is president of the National Corn Growers Association, a farmer from Illinois. And Martin, last week you had a lot going on in Washington, D.C. with your Corn Congress, the summer version. Tell us a little bit about some of the things you did last week.
Well, you're right, Cindy. We had a lot going on. First off, we had our action teams were in town doing their work on all our different subjects. We have six action teams that were there working on all of our different things that we do work on, all the way from public policy to, you know, locks and dams, research, a lot of stuff going on. After the action teams, they worked Monday and Tuesday, and then we moved into Corn Congress Wednesday morning, had a good morning session, went through our policy. Usually in the summertime, we don't have a lot of policy things. There was probably only, I think there were only four or five resolutions, and none were really very, most were just innocuous, and we had a discussion about the livestock groups and where we're going with that. And other than that, we spent about as much time retiring people as we did anything.
Well, you also got to hear from some of the administration officials, in particular the assistant administrator at EPA, I believe, and he talked to you about a couple of subjects. Tell us about that.
Okay, Deputy Administrator Bob Kirchiseppe addressed the Corn Congress on Thursday afternoon. He came in, addressed us on the WOTUS rule and the interpretive rule and all that, how it's going, where they're at on it. They realize there's some changes that need to be made to make it workable for farmers and the environment. The NCGA has taken the position that, yes, we're opposed to the interpretive rule, and yes, we think the rule itself needs to be changed immensely. We've taken the position that we want to work with the EPA and see if we can't put our stamp somewhat on that to make it better for farmers and yet let it still work for the environment.
And I understand he also answered some questions regarding at this point, where they stand with issuing a final rule on the volume obligations under the RFS.
Yeah. He talked about RVO and that ruling on when they come out with those numbers. They are wading through 350-some thousand comments, trying to get a good handle on where that fleshes out. I think they had hoped, obviously we had heard, you'd heard, we'd all heard, that it was going to come the end of June. It did not. Hoping maybe early September, October, sometime in that time frame that we get a number. I mean, the number needs to be out. It's really ridiculous. You know, he said we're behind time frame. I mean, we had some delegates stand up and say, you know, you're not behind time frame. You're way late. You know, we need to get that number out. Hopefully it's a good number for us when it comes down to it.
Well, as far as that's concerned, do you think it's positive, perhaps, that they're taking more time with it? You want it to be right instead of fast?
Absolutely. That's a good way of saying it. But the other side of it is sort of what has created this issue with RINs and that run-up in RIN price is the lateness of the oil companies getting the numbers. You know, they're supposed to have these numbers in the spring. They get them in the fall, and they're by the end of the year, they've got to have met their obligations. So it puts them in a somewhat of a bind, too. I know we're not usually on the side of defending the oil companies, but in this case, they just need the numbers faster so they can get themselves where they need to be.
Did you get a chance to meet with some of your lawmakers while you were in D.C.?
That's the other thing we did. We had our Corn Congress session Wednesday morning, and then we sent everybody to the Hill for Wednesday afternoon and Thursday morning. Visited with a lot of legislators. We had a lot of good reports back on conversations with all the legislators. I think we're beginning to get our message across as to why our stance is where it's at on WOTUS, why our stance is where it's at on the RVO, how it affects us, those type of things. So we think we're getting a more understanding Congress.
Well, another issue that was important to you is WERDA. And at this point, what you're hearing for lawmakers as far as the transportation bill is getting some funding for that. And, you know, what's important to you as far as the WERDA bill is concerned now that it's been passed and signed by the president?
Obviously, Cindy, the important thing to us is now let's get some funding in place to get these locks and dams rebuilt, which should have been done many, many years ago. You know, there's a proposed barge fuel tax increase, which is paid for by the waterway users. Everybody that's using that would be paying into that fee has agreed to pay it to get more money into that fund. We just can't seem to find a vehicle to get that passed yet, and still don't have that vehicle right now.
What else was on your plate while you were in D.C.?
So we had a corn board meeting Wednesday afternoon and Friday morning. We did normal corn grower business, which usually, in a lot of times, ends up just being running the business. You know how that goes. We just had a few policy discussions there as well. At Corn Congress, we did, like I said, we spent some time retiring people. We had three people who have been in the corn industry for many, many years. Don Hutchins, director of Nebraska Corn, Marcia Stanton, global industry lead with Monsanto, and Don Borgman, the industry relations lead from John Deere, who has already retired. We had some, did some things with them. They made some really good speeches about how everybody works together in the corn industry. And then on Thursday, we did a somewhat of a roast retirement for our retiring CEO, Rick Thomas.
Well, speaking about Rick retiring, you're in the midst of a search right now to find his replacement. Whoever that will have big shoes to fill. How's that moving?
Well, the process is I appointed a search committee back after Rick announced his retirement of our chairman, Pam Johnson, our vice president, Chip Bowling, a couple of board members, a couple of state execs, and actually Don Borgman's on that committee from John Deere as well. And they've been doing their work. They hired a search firm. They're working with them. I think they're getting to narrow it down now. Goal is to have someone in place by October 1. If we don't make it, Rick's agreed to stay on for a little while if we don't get their work done in time. But it looks like things are on schedule for that to happen.
And didn't you also have some sort of a leadership program last week as well?
Glad you mentioned that. That's kind of my specialty, too. I like that. It's called the DuPont NPGA New Leaders Program. They brought couples in from all over the country, and it's a beginning training new leader program for people that really aren't involved, maybe even on their state boards or their county farm bureau boards, and bring people and get them exposed to that. We heard several presentations from these young couples in the different action teams. They would bring two or three of the couples in at a time to each of the different action teams. Great presentations, great interest. You could tell they were enthusiastic and glad to be there, and I think this is going to be one of the best programs we've done in a long time.
And finally, Martin, how does your crop look?
Our crop looks good. And we didn't get any of the bigger rains these last couple of weeks. We got some rain. We're getting there. Most of our corn's pollinating right now. We've had some cooler weather, which has helped a bunch. Hopefully we got a chance of rain coming up this weekend again. Hopefully we get some more water in here.
Fabulous. I will let you go. Thank you so much, Martin, and you have a wonderful day.